This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today, a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all your mortgage needs. Mr. Kurt Rogers joins today. Kurt, how are you?
Springtime.
Got your golf shirt on? You're ready.
I'd like to be playing, but I'm not. Springtime, it's beautiful outside. It is. And you could see this last weekend, everybody was outside doing something.
Everybody,
It's great. We're finally here. In a couple weeks, we're going to have summer start, so away we go.
Absolutely, and we're looking forward to that. So if you've got any mortgage questions during the show, we'll take that as well, and we'll get to our special guest here in just one moment. But, Kurt, starting off with you, you told me about a term called recasting.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about it.
What is that? Now I think of that in fishing. I'm recasting. So what is it with
I didn't like where I put it the first time. Yes, I'm going to recast. Yes. I get that. What recasting is, let's say you've had your mortgage for 6 or 7 years, and you inherited some money, or you get a bonus, and you'd like to pay your home off faster. Now, there's a couple ways. You can just take, let's say you have $30,000. You could take the $30,000 and put it against the payoff of your mortgage, and your payment doesn't change, but what changes is you don't have as many months to go, so you're going to save the interest on that. Because as we know, it's compound interest, so it's interest on interest, and it's up front. By lowering the payoff, you're actually lowering the amount of interest. That's one way, but that's not recasting. What recasting does is, let's say you've paid on it for 6 years. You turn around and give them the $30,000, and your balance is $200. Now it goes to $170,000, and they re-amortize the loan for 24 months. Same rate, but they re-amortize the loan for 24 months. Now all of a sudden, besides saving the term and the interest, you're also lowering your payment because you're recasting for a shorter term on the unpaid balance. And it works. For some people, it works. Some, it doesn't. They won't let you recast and take cash out. But you can recast if your goal is to pay off the home quicker. And where this came from is I had a couple of clients that their family members have died, and they've inherited some money. And then what do I do with the money? The problem with recasting is if you pay it down, you can't get it back. And some lenders require you to give X amount of percentage of what your current balance is. Some as low as $5,000. You can recast with $5,000. That's not going to change a whole lot. With $5,000, you just put it to the mortgage.
Right. So the rest of the year look like it's just going to be pretty stable?
I firmly believe it is. You know, the stock market's playing their little games with what the politicians are doing. But I think that, we're not going to change. You know, the president would like to get them to lower the rates. He thinks that would help. But the banks are real excited about that because there's not enough margin in it anyhow for them, in their opinion. So, I think the rates are going to stay right where they're at, right around 4.
Yep.
They're not going to move. You can get some loans under 4, a few over 4, but yeah.
Right. Once again, it's Affordable Interest Mortgage. Give them a call if you've got any kind of mortgage needs at all. 720-895-0500. Glad to welcome back in a returning guest, Michelle Gwynn. And that's the Gwynn Properties team at RE/MAX Professionals. How are you, ma'am?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
So kind of give us an update real quick on the market and what we're looking at right now.
Market is booming, much as we predicted, a lot of us in the industry. Yep. An early season, air quotes, if you will, kind of like we experienced last year. A lot of activity began early spring this year and continues to go really, really well. For both buyers and sellers, which I'm happy to see. Both buyers and sellers are doing really well. It's a little bit more balanced.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's a little bit, sometimes there's more negotiation. People are working together.
Yeah.
So it just seems to, you know, there's not as many bidding wars and the prices being asked and things are working.
Yep. A little bit more balanced.
Very much so.
And you've kind of expanded a little bit into the springs a little more, haven't you?
I've been working a lot in the springs. You know, I do, it kind of ebbs and flows every year. It comes in waves. But I've been doing a lot this spring in the springs with both buyers and sellers, actually. So
for those that don't know you, we're going to take you back because when you were probably in junior high, you didn't think you'd grow up and be a realtor.
No.
So between, how did you get to where, how did you become the realtor? What give us a little history about yourself.
Oh, goodness.
You don't have to go back to 18. You can, even
though
you look 18.
I worked an 8-to-5 job, a lot like many of us do, for many years, and I really loved my job, and my background is in contract negotiations. I loved it, and I had kids along the way, and I bought my first house along the way, actually at a pretty young age, and there's a I can get into that story if you want me to. didn't go all that well, but then the next time I bought a house, it went great. So I started gaining some experience, but I think the takeaway from the first house and it not going well, it was one of those situations where I kind of kicked myself, because though I wasn't all that involved in real estate and I didn't know what I didn't know at the time, I did know how to read a contract and negotiate a contract. And I thought to myself, in hindsight, had I done that, perhaps I wouldn't have made the mistakes that I did or gotten myself into the situation that I did. So there was always that kind of in the back of my mind, and I continued to work for probably another 10 years, my 8-to-5 job, and was not spending a whole lot of time with my family, at least not as much as I wanted to. And I wanted something different. Again, loved my job, but just was not happy with the 8-to-5 anymore. So I think, because of my experiences, both good and bad, in real estate, I think it was, in my background in contracts, it was just a natural interest of mine that has turned out to be a fantastic fit for me.
So. You've been doing it how long now?
5 years. Yep, going on my 5th year.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think people really realize the amount of work it takes from that initial consultation to someone to the closing table, of what it really takes for a realtor to walk all this through, because Kurt, you've mentioned it before. It's kind of like the duck we see on
the water
pond, and they just look like they're so gracefully floating, but underneath they're paddling like crazy.
Okay, feet are just moving.
Because there's probably things that happen that the client's not even aware of. They don't need to know. You're just there to take care of that.
That's the art of it.
Yeah.
That's the art of it.
And they're not supposed to be tied down to all that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think the goal for at least myself, and I know there's a lot of really great agents out there who have the same goal, is it should be a pleasant experience from beginning to end. So there's an art to that. So we're here to negotiate and help with a lot of the, I guess, for lack of a better way of describing it, back end stuff. So, you know, take the stress away from it, and should be a really happy, pleasant experience, and an exciting one, too.
Right. Yeah, you're buying a house.
Yeah.
Sometimes for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do both sides. And what I mean by that, you're the buyer's agent and you're also the lister's agent. Kind of explain to us the different responsibilities of each one of those.
Well, it's an entirely different process based on need, I guess, is where I could start with that. And my initial consultation with anybody I meet is really listening to what they need. And it's a lot more listening than it is talking. There's an equal amount of clients that I work with that don't need both listing and buying.
Right.
And in many cases, it's a first-time home buyer is a great example of that, who only needs the purchase end. I guess the buying end is a little bit more common. We do a little bit more volume with the buying end just because there's a lot of people entering the market every single year. So I'll start with that. It's an initial conversation of what it is that they're looking for, and then backing that into setting the expectations for things moving forward. And a lot of those expectation settings are relevant to the house and lifestyle, right? The needs for them in a family, perhaps. Sometimes it's not always a family. Sometimes it's a single person or a young married couple. Location's huge. plays into the lifestyle, right? Where do they work?
That's right.
Where's family? Do they travel? That sort of thing. So just listening to a lot of that, and then offering my expertise on what's available for them. And then one of the biggest things that I think is often not thought of, especially with a first-time home buyer, is really understanding what the budgetary needs are too. Not necessarily requirements, because I think a lot of people know what they would like to pay, but understanding what they are comfortable paying and what that financial situation looks like. So really offering, as soon as I can, the mortgage perspective into that situation is something I like to do right up front.
Right.
And there's a lot of buyers today, because it's such a big component of it, that have often talked to a lender before they've even contacted me. So I think that's great. And I think that that's a huge culture shift, in fact, that I've seen.
Correct.
Even since I've started this career. So, and then listing, it's the same kind of situation in terms of just listening to what their needs are. And I find with listing a home, it's often a conversation of price and time for most folks. And that's ultimately what it ends up being. So timing things appropriately so they can move on to that next step, whether or not they're going to be purchasing another home in Colorado. I work with lots of people that move out of state every year too. So, and then coordinating that with their next step. So if they're buying in Colorado, then we start having the buying conversation and the timing conversation. And that plays into what kind of house they're looking to purchase as well.
One of the questions I have, because you work both sides, you'll run across, for example, you'll find somebody wants to list their house.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I'll get when somebody comes to me, should I sell my house first before I buy one? Should I buy one and then try to sell my house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a lot of different viewpoints on that from your perspective.
My viewpoint on that is it totally depends on what their end game is, what their goal is. A lot of it has to do with the home that they wish to purchase in the future, right?
Right.
So let's say they're staying in Colorado. What is it they hope to purchase? And that's really kind of a starting point for a conversation for me, because depending on the price point and the location of where they're hoping to move, even though we're finding a more balanced market, I guess, this year compared to even last year or the years before, there are still some price points that are so insanely competitive that making sure a seller is non-contingent as a buyer is very, very powerful to give them a competitive edge. So in that case, we would probably list sooner than later. But I think a huge fear with a lot of people that are getting ready to list their home is being homeless. Or what do you do with that gap? You know, hey, Michelle, what if my house sells right away, but I haven't found my house yet? What do we do in those situations? And there's lots of different things that we can do to kind of close that gap.
Anytime there's contingencies, that's most people you're trying to buy from don't like that, right?
Yeah, they just want to close. They want to get to the end.
They do. So I can't give you a cookie cutter answer for that, because it's a conversation with the client. If they're looking to purchase a home that's, you know, in a higher price point, or their listing is in a higher price point, we know that days on market is much longer than average at that price point, then maybe we list sooner than later, but we're not going to start looking for our replacement home for a couple of months, because we know that it's going to take 60 or more days to sell their house.
The house that's here ain't going to be there when you're ready.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. So it is a case by case basis. And I think that's why I stress the importance of really listening to what a client needs before giving a cookie cutter answer.
Sure.
There really isn't one.
Right. You're listening to a special edition here on Haystack Help Radio of Your Money Matters. Our guest, Michelle Gwynn, the Gwynn Properties team at RE/MAX Professionals. You can check out her website at Gwynn Properties. That's GWINProperties.com. And her number, 303-947-7743. 303-947-7743. We got to be right back.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers KLZ listeners complete pet care services every day, all at one location. It's so much more than a clinic and so convenient. Their expert staff is always happy to help your pet have the happy and healthy life it deserves. Schedule a medical checkup for your beloved companion or take the first step toward a better behaved buddy by signing your pup up for obedience training. Did you know that if your sweet kitty needs grooming, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is one of the few facilities that offers grooming for both dogs and cats. And if you're planning a vacation, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers boarding for dogs, cats, and other small pets so you can take your vacation without worry, knowing that your four-legged family member's home away from home has a fully equipped medical center on site. Learn more about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center at LoneTreeVet.com or call 303-708-8050.
If you missed rates being this low before, now might be your time. Lower rates may help you to qualify for your new home or lower your payments and eliminate mortgage insurance. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We've been serving Colorado since 2001, and many of our clients are taking advantage of the lower rates. Most are able to save hundreds a month, all without extending their term. What could you do with $300, $400 a month or more? Pay off debt? Do some home improvement that you've been putting off? With your equity increasing and rates lowering, now might be the last chance to save thousands in interest. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Have you applied for a loan lately? Are you being treated like you're in an assembly line? No one listening? Just talking? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500, where we will listen and find the right loan for you, all without the stress. Take AIM, 720-895-0500.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest to you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
And we are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio in a special edition of Your Money Matters. Mr. Kurt Rogers is with us from Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, if you have any mortgage needs, 720-895-0500. Our special guest today, Michelle Gwynn, Gwynn Properties Team at RE/MAX Professionals. Once again, Michelle's number, 303-947-7743. And Michelle, we were talking kind of during the break. You do a free consultation for people to kind of get to meet them. Mm-hmm. And so what can people expect when they do? You mentioned a few people on your team as well. So what can people expect from you, your team, and really how you try to add value to what you do as a realtor?
You know, it's, I just like to sit down with folks and, you know, add value through education and resources. And then it, really it's a planning meeting. For lack of better terms, there's a lot of people that are intimidated, number one, by real estate as a whole, right? And it's totally understandable. They're not in the world every day. Hopefully, you know, you're only doing this a handful of times a year. There's investment buyers that do it a few times a year, right? But it's really just about providing information so that people can make empowered decisions. And if we can do that, and somebody feels better about the decisions they're getting ready to make, whether or not it is making a move in real estate, that makes us whole and feel really good about what we're doing every single day. Putting them in contact with the right people, that's always good.
And just establishing that trust, Kurt, whether it's on your end with mortgage, her end with real estate, I mean, anything in business, I mean, me to you is my client.
Yeah,
and, it's just
she brings up a good point,
trust,
meeting
right?
the customer face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you talk to them, you get to ask certain questions, and they get to see who you are and how you respond, and do you have eye contact, you start developing this relationship. You had mentioned during the break that the last time you were on the show, you got a phone call afterwards.
I did.
But she didn't sell her house or buy a house from you.
No. Mm-mm.
Explain that, because that's your culture. I mean, I understand that.
Yes.
And people need to know that. It's not always about getting to the sale.
You know, this particular caller and turned really kind of just friend, if you will, pretty casual friendship right now. She just needed information to make some really empowered decisions. She's in a tough spot with having to make some decisions for an ill family member and doesn't know what to look forward to in terms of real estate or, you know, the condition of the house or if she can do something or if she can't or what would be in the best interest of the family member and so on and so forth. So sitting down and listening and understanding what it is that she's looking for is my priority, right? And then if I can add value by way of connecting anybody, and this, she's a great example, her with people that can further help her. It's not just real estate that she was looking for necessarily. So I was able to put her in touch with those people, and it wasn't a meeting about, yep, I'm ready to make a decision right here, right now. And nor do I ever have that expectation of people. I want to do for people what I was not provided the first time I bought a house.
Information
and knowledge. And if I need to sit down and explain things, you know, over and over again. But I think you brought something very important up, Kurt. Having those conversations face to face with people, it's invaluable. And if I only ever see him one time, mm-hmm. and that's all I ever see him, I go home and I feel really good about what I did that day.
Right. Now, that brings me to my next question. A lot of people will go out and they're looking at new homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, well, they've got an agent there and everything is set, like going into Sears or Walmart or something to buy something. Here's the sticker price. Here's what I pay. Here's what I got to do.
New build home.
New
is
build.
That what you're asking about?
That's right. That's not the case.
No.
And so explain to them why it's important to take your own realtor with you if you're going to look at a new build. It's not going to cost you anymore because the cost, your fee, comes from the seller.
Correct.
Always. So it never costs you more.
Correct.
And I promise you, you're not going to negotiate better than a realtor to get you a better price. Explain that to them.
Well, number one, the agent sitting in the office of any new build community is working on behalf of the seller. Okay.
Only.
Yep. So while they have the ability to facilitate the documents and the paperwork, and they'll do that whether or not I as a buyer agent am involved or not, okay, that doesn't change the paperwork side of it for a new build. It's a little different in that regard. They don't have the obligation to advocate for the buyer
fiduciary about responsibility.
They have none. Price and inclusions or negotiations, so on and so forth. So every decision that's made along the process, whether or not the client is buying what we call a spec home or a quick delivery home, those are homes that builders start building before they even know that they have a buyer in mind. Those are quick deliveries. And sometimes from the time you walk into the office to the time you're actually closing, it could be 2 or 3 months, as opposed to what most new build homes take 6 months or longer build if you go with a dirt start. There's still a lot that can be negotiated and a lot that needs to be looked out for. One example that comes to mind that happened very, very recently was during the builder's blue tape walk. It's the equivalent of maybe an inspection. It is not in place of a third-party inspection. I want to be clear about that. But a blue tape walk with a builder is their contractors and crew coming in and their site supervisors coming in and making sure that the buyer is happy with everything in the home. And there's certain things that even, you know, your realtor, if you're represented by a realtor, they can walk you through that process and point out things that you should be looking for that you may never otherwise know to ask or
right,
look
especially
for.
On a new build, you just assume everything's there.
Correct. Oh, yeah, it's a new house that's gone through
it's
5 or 6 or 7 different inspections through the city, through the builder, so on and so forth. Well, nothing's perfect. So there was a few things.
That's why they call it blue tape, because they put blue tape all over the walls.
Right, that's right. Well, and I think there's a certain degree of expectation setting, too, with new build homes. with clients too, because I think it's kind of like, you know, buying a new car. It's supposed to be perfect, you know, 0 miles, supposed to be perfect. That's not always the case, right? Same with houses. So
that is true.
So how do you, when you are working with someone maybe that wants to list their house, and maybe do most clients have in mind before they even meet you what they want to list their house for, a dollar
figure? Most do, yeah. Most
and then let's say somebody says, you know, hey, my neighbor sold $575, mine should be worth $590, and you know in your heart it ain't worth $525. Mm-hmm. How do you then get them to understand that, you know, it's going to be a mistake to list this at $580 and have it sit forever because you're going to be too high?
Well, I think this is where me and my team working with buyers is hugely important to sellers, okay? Because we can give a buyer perspective on comments that are going to come when they when we list their house, and you know, listing the house at the correct price at the, you know, based on condition and market condition, so on and so forth, is important. So I begin the conversation that way and provide the expertise from the buyer's perspective. But it happens almost every time listing a house. Hey, you know, Zillow says my house is worth this, or Sally down the street just sold her house for this, or the, you know, exact same floor plan sold for this much last year, comes up almost every single time. So on a case-by-case basis, again, because it kind of depends on the neighborhood and some of that data that they found, a lot of the conversations go, you know, I offer my recommendation based on recent comps that I've pulled, and then I listen to the information that they've provided and where they want to list, and so I ask them, you know, where do you want to list? Here's where I think we need to list. We can list where I think we need to, which is in most cases a little bit lower. Not always. Sometimes we're dead on with each other. But we can list at a little bit lower number, because the goal of selling a house is getting people in the door. And if people, buyers, feel like they're getting a home for a good value, they will come see it.
Right.
A lot of it has to do with marketing and the way it looks online too. And that's always part of the conversation. But we need people in the door. If people aren't looking at it, it's not going to sell anyway. I don't care what it's priced at. So, and then generating that interest in that traffic, in the last few years, it's always been a conversation of let's get competition too, because at many price points, we've been able to do that. And there's still a little bit of that going on. But if it doesn't work out that way, then we'll revisit price in the next, you know, 7 to 10 days. And again, it all depends on the neighborhood. Or we can list at your price, which maybe is a little bit higher. If we don't have, and we'll set some expectations, if we're not having one showing a day, an average of one showing a day for the first week we're on the market, then we need to talk about it again. And then at the end of that conversation, it is, you guys choose what you want to do. I've given you all the information in the scenarios, the pros and cons to each.
Final decision is theirs.
Final decision is really theirs.
But the value when you do this, because I've talked with some people, is it doesn't really matter what we think it's worth. These comps, these homes that have sold, they were appraised by someone. Mm-hmm. Well, that person or someone like them is going to appraise this house. Mm-hmm. So if the buyer is unwilling to pay more than the appraisal price, that buyer's not going to be in the market. So there's another silent partner to this deal that the only way they can know about it is through the comps.
It's a silent partner, but it's the only partner
at
the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I come prepared with data, you know, that comp data. But I also think, you know, what the neighbor sold for, what Sally sold for, or it's relevant. It's absolutely relevant. And then we need to start dissecting, you know, the differences, the pros and the cons. And I'll sit down, I'll make a list with people.
Yes.
I will, in fact, I was at a listing appointment just a few days ago. We looked through pictures of all the other comps and you know, and it's a setting expectations conversation and empowering them to ultimately make the decision. But at least they know what can happen in either one of those scenarios. And a lot of times I have pretty good success with listing it. At least a number that's in the middle of both what they think and what I think,
right,
which I think is an extremely fair compromise, or listing at, you know, maybe my number, which could be a little bit lower, and generating competition. And really, I have a lot of success getting listings sold fairly quickly.
Now, the day supply has gone up.
It has.
For a while, we were around 27, 34.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're up higher. What do you think, you know, some people saying, well, the market's starting to soften. I don't see it that way. What do you feel?
I don't think it's starting to soften. I think it's becoming a little bit more balanced. Okay, so rates are still really low. You know that,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Rates are still really low. I think what's happened more than anything is buyer fatigue. And I think it's just a result of the culture that's been created through this competition that we've had for so many years in a row now. There's been a lot of buyers that have lost out on houses time and time and time and time again for no other reason than there's 20 other buyers going after the same house.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens over and over again, you kind of give up.
Yeah.
You kind of give up. So I think there's an element of that going on. I think there's an equal amount of people who believe that there's a bubble that we're in.
Yep.
There's a lot of data to support that we're not, and I'm happy to have conversations with folks about that. It's a combination of several things, I think. I think we're in a more balanced market, but people are still gaining a lot of equity in their home. Not as much as they were a couple of years ago, but I think the average amount of equity, if you look at the life of equity growth for the last 30 years, I think the average is like 3%, something very close to that. We've been up 10, 11, 12% for the last 4 or 5 years. Last year, it went down a little bit more. I think we're closer to 7 or 8. And this year, it's pretty similar. So if you think about that relative to the average, if you look at it over 30 years, we're still doing really well.
Oh, we're doing very well. I kind of go along with your point. When you're running at 120 miles an hour, like we have for the last couple of years with homes in and out and fast and all the bids and all the wars going on, mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden we slow down to 90. Well, we're still speeding.
We are.
But we're not doing 120.
Mm-hmm.
So we still only have about a 46, 47-day supply. We're supposed to be closer to 90.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's less than, it's still considerably less than what the norm is.
That's right.
When the market's fair on both sides.
It is, and I totally agree with you, but I also see the perspective of the buyers and the sellers that are out in the market.
Yes.
And a new expectation, if you will, has been set just by way of what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years. So that's why I like to sit down and just have these conversations with people, and then they get to decide if it's right for them or not. You know, I can give them the information. Sometimes it's not the right time to buy or sell.
Sure. You're listening to a special edition of Your Money Matters. Michelle Gwynn is our guest. If you've got any questions, we'll take your calls, 303-477-5600. When we come back, let's talk about this a little bit, too, because sometimes you get into a bidding war on a house. Mm-hmm. So then how does that negotiation work, and how do you advise clients of giving, knowing what to give and knowing when to just say, it's not, you know, we can't go over that a mark.
Perfect.
You know, so let's talk about that negotiation. We'll be right back.
After an accident, think about flesh and back law. After your accident, you didn't think it was a big deal. You didn't think you were injured. You didn't think you'd ever hurt that much. You didn't think you'd have to miss work. You didn't think physical therapy would take so long. You didn't think there'd be so many hospital bills. You didn't think that the insurance company would take so long and give so little. You definitely didn't think you'd ever be in this situation. But you are. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. Flesh and Beck have the experience and the knowledge to think about all the details you didn't know you'd have to worry about. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Call today to find out if they can help you.
Mosquito season is upon us. Don't let mosquitoes keep you from enjoying your summer activities in your yard. At Mosquito Authority, their mission is to help protect you and your family from mosquitoes and the diseases they carry. Did you know that when your dog or cat is bitten by a mosquito, heartworm is one of the most common infections to your furry friend? For new customers, take advantage of the Memorial Day offer. 2 treatments for $105, which is a $150 value, running now through Saturday, May 25th. No contracts, no commitments, and best of all, no mosquitoes. Call 303-688-2847. That's 303-688-2847. Or visit mosquitoauthority.com.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
David R. Cishan is a certified estate planner, regional vice president of Householder Group, and a registered representative with LPL Financial. David Cishan knows that building a secure financial plan begins with comprehensive strategies in estate planning, income distribution, tax and investment planning, and risk management. Cishan Financial is a family business, and they treat their clients like family. Cishan Financial holds to the highest fiduciary standards, representing their clients' interest above all else. Call now for your free consultation, 720-482-1917, 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio, a special edition of Your Money Matters. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, along with Mr. Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage, and our special guest, Michelle Gwynn, the Gwynn Properties team at RE/MAX Professionals. Check out their website, gwynproperties.com, 303-947-7743, 303-947-7743. And our show reaches a lot of the state here of our Colorado. So whether you're buying or selling, Michelle can about handle anything in any market around the area. So give her a call, 303-947-7743. Now, before the break, I talked about that negotiation point. When you get into a bidding war on a house and, you know, somebody goes, hey, I really want this house. How much should we offer? And you realize you may lose it by $500 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Kurt, someone recently I had sent you, she was actually looking at one home and she told me, and she wrote this letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to find out if that's common too, to why she wanted the home.
What the house would mean to her.
And the people came back, go, we want no letters. I mean, they were just money-driven, all that.
It was too, all about the cash.
Right. So how do you go about that negotiation point? Not giving too much and getting the customer, you know, in a bad situation, but when they really want the house. But how do you negotiate that and help them?
Well, that's a twofold question. Yeah. Number one, it's the opinion. And my opinion, based on research, it's not just a, you know, throw and hope the dart catches somewhere. It's about research, right? There's, I think, people... Sellers are very afraid of not having a house if they sell too quickly, right?
Right.
I think buyers are very afraid of having the being house poor, buying into negative equity. So that is a very real conversation that I have with every client when we're in a competitive situation. So it's a lot less about what should we offer and a lot more about what is the number at which point I will
say no.
I will have negative equity in this house.
Yes.
And when you have a conversation that way, I think it's a little bit more of a, it's easier to grasp, right? People, there's a couple of different kind of buyers. There's the logical buyers, right? Who are in it for the dollars and the cents, and that tends to be the methodology of an investment buyer. But then there's equal amounts of people that buy because, you know, emotions. You know, they're attached to the house that they're looking for through vision or, you know, kids or job or whatever. So they, both the logical and the emotional client is going to agree on one thing, and that is if it's negative equity. So that's part of the conversation. And if we get to the point where there's so much competition that we've reached our negative equity number, it's a pass in most cases. There's exceptions, right? There's some people it's worth it to them.
Yeah, if that is their dream home, that's the house that they, i.e., I want to raise my kids in, take them to elementary, through high school, I like the schools. Okay, I'll pay the extra money because I'll get rid of that negative equity over a longer period of time versus somebody that's thinking, well, this house will last me 5 years and I'm on. That's a different story.
Yeah. So if we're in, we're well within that safe zone, if you will, for negative equity, and it's still worth going after, there's lots of different strategies that I can use to help walk a client through their comfort level in drafting an offer that makes a lot of sense to them. Price obviously speaks volume, but there's lots of different ways to package the price inside the offer without offering more off the price. Title fees are a great example. Showing commitment through earnest money is another example. You know, offering more earnest money than what is advertised. Letters, that's a tricky one. That used to be a very common thing and something that, you know, I was asked about a lot. There's been a lot of talk lately in the real estate world about fair housing laws that really have discouraged the
letters.
So I like to follow the rules, and I like to make sure that my clients understand why it is that we are following certain rules. So again, that's part of the education piece and offers. But there's lots of different things you can do inside of an offer, and it clauses, escalation clauses was very common a few years ago.
Yeah, it was. It's kind of backed up a bit.
Yeah, not as common anymore, but I like to have conversations with the listing agents to really kind of feel out what's important to the sellers, because that can be a huge piece too. And it may or may not have anything to do with money.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you're dealing with this, what starts to become, whether it's working for a lister or for someone buying a home, the type of home may be a reason to spend a little bit more than not.
Correct.
There are certain types of homes that will hold their value or always be at the top end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. What are just the type of the homes?
You're asking what types of homes in Colorado that are holding their value more?
Yeah.
You know, I think location is huge for a lot of different reasons. I'll use a listing of mine that we were very fortunate to get under contract just this last weekend. Location was huge for that one. It's going to hold its value for a long time, and I think it's a great buy. It's a fantastic sell, obviously, for my clients. But it's really close to Buckley Air Force Base, and that in and of itself makes it a great home. But I watch the news. You know, if you understand what's going on in and around the city, I believe Buckley Air Force Base has been shortlisted for a new space program, which means there could potentially be a lot of people gravitating towards that area because they're, I think they, I don't remember the stat for sure, 7,000 or 9,000 new jobs if they get that. I know that kind of the Lone Tree area when they built the Charles Schwab campus a few years ago, that's great. That's going to hold its value for a long time.
Yeah, they're actually going to be building some homes across the street on the east side of 25.
Yeah.
They're coming within the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Across from Cabela's over there.
From Cabela's. So they're racing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, with the market, what price ranges have changed? Because there for a while, those $500,000 to $600,000 homes were hot.
A little bit lower than that, I think, are still pretty darn competitive.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's more attention, more pressure, not attention, but pressure is on the marketing side of things in terms of listings these days, which is, I think, is a very good and very healthy for our market, to be quite honest. 98% of all home buyers shop online, or they start shopping online, or at least looking.
They look.
At least looking, right? Yep. So how well does a home present online is hugely important. I think it's becoming more and more important, especially this year, because we're more balanced, if you will, or moving towards a little bit more balanced. The first-time home buyer market, I think, is still probably the hottest and in the highest demand. We're still seeing, at least in my experience, I'm seeing homes on and off the market and in a very short amount of time, 2 weeks or less usually.
Right.
In many cases of clients that I've worked with this year, it's been competitive, and they haven't even lasted 7 days on the market. I think areas of town also plays into that. You know what? I'm seeing a lot of competition in Monument in Colorado Springs this year, a ton, in Monument especially.
Well, I think they're going to build a new mall.
Down towards that way
as well.
And they wouldn't be building the roads except to access all the people. We got plenty now. By the time they're finished, it'll still be busy. But I agree with you. I think there's a lot more building going on down in that area.
There's a lot. There's a lot. And Monuments is a, gosh, it's such a cool area. It's a different feel than the city, right? So if you're looking for that kind of feel, and people are. Mm-hmm. So, and but I think the price point of Monument, unless you're along the highway there, the price point's a little bit higher for the homes that tend to be popular. So, but in Denver Metro, it's the 300 to...
350 is...
Oh, that's crazy. But I would say 300 to 500, man, those are still pretty popular. They're moving and grooving. Condition is pretty important.
Much more important now than it was maybe a year ago.
Making
sure...
Because
people would have bought anything.
Making sure that it looks good online, just to attract the people to get in there.
And real quick before I break, staging is really crucial, isn't it, when you walk in? Do you walk in some and you go, man, we don't have to do anything? Mm-hmm. That's probably rare.
Yeah.
Most of them, you probably have to do some type of staging, right?
Yep. A little bit. You know, I've walked into a couple of vacant properties that were just so well done that people fall in love immediately. But I think by and large, that statement is very accurate. There's been this surge, or maybe I'm just paying more attention lately. They've probably been around for a while, but there's apps that you can use, and you can shoot photos or live stream photos of houses when you're in them, especially vacant ones, and you can put furniture in them. That's cool. That's really powerful.
You get an idea of what it's going to look.
Yes.
Like.
Wow. The problem that I've had is I've never been able to get a signal inside any of these houses to get that to work effectively, but. So for that reason, there's nothing better than good old-fashioned staging for houses.
Sure.
I certainly stage everything for photos. I'm a kind of a photo snob when it comes to making sure things look really well before I list them. I take a lot of pride in that. So.
Right. You're listening to a special edition of Your Money Matters. We got our last break. We'll be right back.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Hi, this is Kevin Trisna, owner of M4 Roofing and Gutters. Since 2004, it's been our mission to provide the highest quality of service and trust to every customer we serve. M4 Roofing and Gutters is a family-owned and operated company right here in Englewood, Colorado. At M4 Roofing and Gutters, quality customer service is our top priority. For a free inspection and estimate for your roofing project, call today 303-797-8600. That's 303-797-8600. Or visit us online at m4roofing.com. M4 Roofing and Gutters is an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau and haystackhelp.com.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio, special edition of Your Money Matters. We have been glad to have Michelle Gwynn with us. The Gwynn Properties team at RE/MAX Professionals, her number 303-947-7743. GwynnProperties.com. That's G-W-I-N Properties.com. So, Michelle, what type of housing do you see selling the most right now? I mean, are townhouses, condos? I mean, we see a lot of that stuff being built around, but what's kind of really flying right now?
Really all of them. Like I said, the first time home buyer market, and there's equal amounts of townhomes. I think the most requested probably are townhomes. Many of them have the look and feel of single-family homes, but a lot of convenience. And most of them share walls, or at least one wall, but it doesn't feel as maybe restrictive as a condo. And then certainly single-family homes. But it almost entry-level. And by entry-level, I mean it's a little bit lower price points, 400s, 500s, somewhere in there. High demand,
right,
for sure.
If you have a family member and they were thinking about listing their home, what would be some of the suggestions you give them first?
A family member?
Yeah.
Why a family member?
Because you're going to want to make sure they're protected a little bit more. Make sure that they know the information.
That's interesting. Only because I'm not sure I'd treat a family member with...
That's why I bet
any
the question.
Any more, any less service than... I would treat anybody else. They think it's, you know, it's the same standard and same values that I offer to all clients, which is very, very important to me. I treat all clients as if they were family members because I always revert back to the experience I first had in real estate that I just never, if I can save the heartache or answer questions before they even know they have questions up front, I feel better about it. And in a lot of cases, that's exactly what happens is I offer enough information that answers questions that people don't know they have. And that holds true for second time home buyers and sellers and
but
third
that's
time.
That's part of your culture.
It's very much part of the culture. It's always adding value. Yeah.
Kind of got that. I just wanted to reemphasize that because I know that about you.
Yeah.
Do you still believe that now's a good time to buy investment property? Why or why
not? I do. Well, I think that the example of the house that I listed a couple of weeks or last week is a great one. You know, taking a look at the growth that Denver's seen, and I talk a lot about the companies that have moved in, but just overall, I think an often overlooked part of the, I guess, for lack of better terms, Metro City is really outside of Denver too, because I see a lot of people not wanting to be in the city anymore. But not really wanting to own. So there's the rental market, right? But a rental market that's outside of the city. So as an investor, that might be something worth thinking about. Places a little bit more rural, but still close enough that it's, you know, things aren't that far away, like Elizabeth or Kiowa or, you know, there's things up in Weld County and all over.
Well, and I kind of go along with that. What I'm seeing is because of our light rail system and how much it's expanded out, you can go to the Elizabeth area, drive for 15, 20 minutes, get on a light rail, and then you get downtown. So, well, you might like to work and party downtown. You live out in the country because it's considerably cheaper.
Yeah.
And you have more privacy in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still not driving as much.
Yeah.
So I think our transit system, when it's working 100% properly, is really good. Doesn't always work.
But. Well, it's a great investment is just a great option. People are here. people are here. They're going to have to buy or they're going to have to rent, right? So as that's an investment property. I think investment is always a good option as long as you have time. As long as you have time, you know, to let that property sit and just gain equity. And some of my investment buyers really love the idea of hiring a property management company.
Man,
to take care of that.
We've talked about that, but I mean, I do not want to deal with all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see more millennials buying now than before? What's kind of changed in maybe age or areas of town?
There's, yes, I do. I think, I don't want to say areas of town. You get equal amounts of people in different areas of town. I think it's, I don't have a great answer for you. I think it's just a cycle of life. And I revert back to certain milestones that I achieved as a young person.
Right.
And I think people are starting to see the value. And I don't want to make it specific to millennials necessarily. I think
right.
a lot of people are seeing the value in owning a home in Denver. And no, I mean, the people aren't going anywhere. In fact, there's more and more people coming in all the time.
Some of the statistics, and the reason I asked that question, is some of the statistics show that as the people keep coming in and the rents have keep going up,
mm-hmm.
that they're realizing, you know, we might have realized that when we were in our 20s, they're realizing now in their 30s that, okay, I'm tired of throwing away my rent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go buy a piece of property mm-hmm. and move into.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very real conversation every year, though, honestly.
Yeah.
So there's not millennials that I have those conversations with, too. In fact, I had one with a beautiful young lady in her 80s just a few weeks ago. You know, I'd been renting to the tune of $2,000 for a month for the last 2 years. And so we did the math, and I said, that's a whole lot of money that could have been invested in a house. And over 2 years, you know, your average house has gained this much in equity just by living in it.
And forget what you're paying down.
That's right.
Plus the equity on the other side, you know, you're making 7-8% with those two.
Yeah. But sometimes it doesn't make sense for people, and that's why I like to have the conversations with them.
Right. Well, this has been an excellent conversation.
It always is with Michelle.
We thank you. Once again, 303-947-7743. Check out our website, Gwin Properties, GWINproperties.com. And that is Gwin Properties team at RE/MAX Professional. So, Michelle, thank you. Kurt, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And most of all, thank you, folks, for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Get out and enjoy the sunshine and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.